Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Look what the Bible said in verse number 11, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Your Bible said this in verse number 11. The Bible said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. The Bible tells us, and Paul writing to us says, we're not ignorant of the devices of Satan. And I want to talk to you just for a little while tonight about the devices of Satan. You say, preacher, we just shouted it out this morning, and man, the Holy Ghost is moving and helping us tonight, and you're going to go here. I believe this is where God wants us at tonight. Father, help us tonight. You know the need of the service. I pray, God, that you'd guide every thought and every word that comes out of my mouth tonight. Lord, may it be ordained by you. Meet the need, as only you can. Save that sinner closest to hell. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Right in the middle of the service this morning, seeing God do what God was doing. I want to say this. I appreciate people being obedient to the Lord this morning. I understand that it is God that does it, but I will say this. I believe God allows people to usher His glory in sometimes. And can I say this morning that singing ushered the glory of God in for us today? It set the tone of the service, amen. And right in the middle of all that this morning, I got up and talked just a minute, said just a couple little things about that lady taken in the very act of adultery, and then sat back down. And man, I'm telling you, I was watching people worship God in a way that I've never seen some of them worship God this morning. Yeah, boy, I was so excited about that. And here's what the Lord said: you're not ignorant of His devices. You're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, you said, preacher, what does that have to do with what's going on in our church tonight? Here's what I want to say to you tonight. Make no mistake that the devil is not excited about what's happening at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Make no mistake. The devil is taking note of what's going on right now at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. The devil is taking note of that victory that you're having right now in your life. I mean that tonight. You say, preacher, why are you downing us tonight? I'm not bringing us down. I'm just, if you'll listen to me tonight, we'll get help. Make no mistake, the devil is taking note of it. And can I say something to you tonight? The devil absolutely hates what's happening at Amazing Grace. He absolutely hates what's happening right now at our church. He hates that people are getting help. He's hating that we've saw a few get saved over the past little bit. And I believe that we're going to see some more get saved in days to come. He absolutely hates that. He hates that we're praying. Can I say something to you tonight? He absolutely hates that now, after almost a year, we have started prayer room back up on Sunday nights. He absolutely hates that. He absolutely, let me tell you the reason why. Because he can't stand it when we talk to our Heavenly Father. He hates that. Can I tell you something? He hates that the choir is up singing again. The devil absolutely hates that. Let me tell you the reason why. It sets the tone for worship. It does. I'm telling you, you can't tell me that you don't get a blessing out of hearing the choir sing. He absolutely hates that. Can I tell you something to you tonight? He absolutely hates that we've started Wednesday school back up. Can I tell you something? He absolutely hates that in the month of March we're going back to Sunday school. He hates what's happening. The devil's desire and the devil's plan was to destroy our church and to shut the doors of our church last year. There's not a doubt in my mind that's what Satan wanted to see happen. But can I say this? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. He is a defeated foe. And here's what the Word of God said. Jesus said this: upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That don't mean he's not going to try to, though. I promise you he's going to try to. Look what the verse says. Lest Satan should get an advantage. I looked that word advantage up, and here's what it means. To be superior, excel, or surpass. He wants to be superior in your life. If you're living the abundant Christian life, if you're walking in fellowship with God, God is the superior in your life. You're not the superior in your life. God is right now. And you know what Satan wants to do? He wants to be superior in your life. Think about this. The Bible said that he should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I looked that word up, ignorant, and here's what it means. It means unknown, undiscovered, unacquainted with. Can I say this? The devices of Satan is not unknown. The devices of Satan is not undiscovered. The devices of Satan is not unacquainted with. We have a book that tells us all about the way he operates. Did you hear me tonight? You say, well, I want to know how Satan operates. Right here it is. I understand that there's been some books that's been written, and I've got several of them that's talking about Satan, but the greatest book that's ever been written on Satan's right here in my hand. If you want to know how he operates, if you want to know how he works, you read this book right here and you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. Let me tell you the reason that he got kicked out of heaven. Here's the reason why. He wanted to be superior. That's what he's always wanted to be. He's always wanted to rule and reign. And we are not ignorant of that. Devices, here's what it means whenever you look it up in Blue Letter Bible. It means an evil purpose. You see, Satan has an evil purpose for your life, and Satan has an evil purpose for my life. Satan wants to destroy your life, and Satan wants to destroy my life. Satan wants to destroy your home, and Satan wants to destroy my home. Satan wants to destroy your children, and Satan wants to destroy my children. I need some help preaching tonight. That is his desire. His desire is for us to be in a racket in this church. His desire is for our church to split. His desire is for one part to go one way and one part go the other way, and only a few be left trying to figure out how we're going to make it. That is his desire tonight. And if you're not careful, you will allow him to cause that to happen in your home, in your personal life, and in your church house. Can I say this? You can be sitting on the church pew and not be part of the church. Amen. You can be a member of the church and not be a part of the church. You can be in the choir and not be part of the choir. Are you hearing the preacher tonight? If we're not careful, we'll get stuck in a routine. I heard somebody say this the other day. I'm ready to be back to church like it used to be. And here was my statement back to them. I don't never want to go back to church like it used to be. I'm ready for the schedule of services to pick back up like they used to be. I'm ready for the choir to be back in their place, and we are slowly getting to that. I'm ready for Sunday school to be back in its place. I'm ready for all of that, but I'm not ready for church to be like it used to be. I want it to be greater than it's ever been, and Satan wants to destroy it. We're not ignorant of his devices tonight. We know what he can do. We know how he can destroy our life. We know how he can destroy our church. The devices of Satan. Let me show you two or three tonight. Number one, can I say this? Here's one of his devices. It's a word called distraction. Distraction. Satan will distract us. I thought about this. My dad has said this many times. The devil or Satan will keep you doing a good thing to keep you from doing the best thing. Satan will have you do a good thing, keep you from doing the best thing. You know what he'll do? He will distract your mind tonight. The devil will distract. Daddy always said this, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. An idle mind. You say, well, preacher, that's the reason I try to keep my kids from having an idle mind. And I put this in front of them and that in front of them. And I let them watch TV for countless hours and play video games for countless hours. You know, let me tell you the best thing that we can put in front of our children? the Word of God? A parent that sits down and talks to them? Amen. Devices tonight. He uses the device of distraction. Let me tell you the reason a lot of people's not in church tonight. They are distracted from the house of God. The devil has distracted their mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. That fear has never been of God. It will never be of God. You say, well, I'm using common sense. Well, it's all right to use common sense, but if you're not careful, you will allow the devil and the news media and the world to distract your mind and cause fear. Distraction tonight. It's of the devil. Listen to what the Bible said. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Satan tries to distract us by getting our mind and our attention on the material things instead of the spiritual things. On methods rather than a message. On men rather than the master. He will distract our mind tonight. Listen to what the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Satan will have you do a good thing to keep you from doing the best thing. I thought about this. I read an illustration today, and here's what it said. It was talking about Satan will try to, Satan will attempt to and try to get our priorities out of place. Here's what the illustration was, and it was said to be a true story. It said that there was an aunt that locked her her niece, which was an infant, inside of a vehicle one day. It said that the mother was there also. The mother got out and thought the aunt was going to get the child, and the aunt locked the vehicle, or locked the doors and locked the infant inside the vehicle. And it was very hot that day, and said in just a matter of time, the infant began having trouble, and they was trying to get into the vehicle, and somebody come running with a clothes hanger. Y'all remember those days, and tried to get the lock open, and they couldn't, and said a gentleman come running up and said the infant, you could tell, was struggling to breathe, and said the gentleman come running up and grabbed a tire tool and busted the window on the car and reached in and got the infant and pulled the infant out and handed it to the aunt that was standing there. Of course, he didn't know who the mama was, and handed it to the aunt, and the baby ended up being all right. And the mama got mad at the man because he busted her window. Because, let me tell you what happened. She got her priorities out of place. You know, let me tell you what happened. She got distracted from what really mattered. And let me tell you what happens in our lives sometimes. Spiritually, we begin to die. And a preacher gets up and preaches a challenging message. And we get mad at the preacher because he's busted the window and has tried to save our life. Our priorities get out of place, and the distraction will come from Satan. We're not ignorant of that. He will distract us tonight. He will distract us tonight. One of the biggest challenges, I talked to a preacher today that was not able to go to his service and or inside of his church, and he sat outside, and he said he listened on the radio, and here's what he said. He said, it is not church. And I said, I agree with you. I said, I done it too for 2 weeks. And I said, man, hey, look up in there. I was messing with the radio. I was turning the volume up. I was turning the volume down. I was looking at my phone, Brother Tim. And I mean, I had my Bible in front of me. I got dressed like I was going to church. I was sitting in the parking lot of the church. But I was thinking about this. I was thinking about that. I was watching cars go up the road. Anything that moved the least bit caught my attention. The devil distracts our mind tonight. And we're not ignorant of that. If we're going to stay on fire for God, we're going to have to be aware of the distractions of Satan. Number one, I say this to you tonight. What is the devices of Satan? I've just wrote a few down here. I say it's distractions. Here's what the Bible said in Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Look at the things above, not what's here. Number two tonight, I not only see that he uses distractions, but can I say this? The devil uses discouragement. He uses discouragement. Olivia, will you go back there on my desk and get that bottle of water, please? I left it back there. He uses discouragement. Discouragement. I said, preacher, I've never battled discouragement in my life. Would you please sign my Bible at the end of service tonight? I promise you I have. I battled discouragement, Brother Dakota. I'm telling you, there's been times and on Monday mornings I've woke up and thought they didn't nobody care. They didn't nobody care about the services at church yesterday. And this is a Monday morning at my house sometimes and I'm ill and Leslie would say, well, what about such and such testifying? Well, they didn't even mean it anyway. Come on now, y'all don't act like you're that good. All right. Discouragement. Brother Matt, I bet there's been times, especially when the choir was singing all the time, that you woke up on Sunday morning and thought, man, I don't know what happened to my bottle. Did you squeeze my bottle there? Did you drink out of that? All right. I still can't smell nothing. I hadn't been able to since, however how long ago it was. But anyway, I bet you woke up on Sunday morning or Monday mornings and thought, man, you know what? I put my heart into leading the choir today. And man, they just didn't hit much yesterday. Sunday school teacher, you ever woke up on Monday morning or now on Thursday morning and thought, man, I really give it everything last night and nobody listened. I guarantee you some of the younger kids know about this and run out the door and this one had gas and this one was belching and I chased this one and this one run to the bathroom. We lost them for 30 minutes. Why'd I even do what I'm doing? Brother Heath, you ever went home on Sunday afternoons and thought, man, I tell you what, I worked hard, and you listen to Brother Heath's messages in the youth church if you're ever out there. Ask your children about him. Man, he puts his heart into that. I bet there's been times that you went home and thought, man, I don't know what was wrong with those kids today. Matter of fact, I think it was last Sunday, Miss Morgan said, I said, how did it go out there today? And she said, they definitely had chocolate. You know what she was saying? That was wild. She was just saying it politely. And you think in your mind, man, it's not, why'd I even do what I'm doing? Let me tell you what that is. It's the devil using the device of discouragement. The other day we went home and the girls had sung somewhere. It may have been him. I don't even remember where it was at. And one of them, it was Madeline or Olivia or Victoria is one of the three. One of the three said this, I can't believe I missed those words and I messed those words up. And I was thinking in my mind, what is she talking about? And I finally looked at her and I said, what are you talking about? I said, I was standing right beside you playing the guitar. And I said, I didn't know you missed any words. And she said, oh yeah. She said, I butchered that verse and it was awful. And I said, I didn't even know it. I said, I didn't. I said, I'm not just saying that. I said, if you really made a big gum of it, you know I'd tell you. I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. Let me tell you what the devil does, church. The devil will use the tool or the device of discouragement. We're not ignorant of that. We're not. Hey, Satan wants to get an advantage of us. We're not ignorant of that. One of Satan's most powerful weapons in his arsenal is the weapon of discouragement. It's the weapon of discouragement. Many times discouragement comes not long after we've had a good church service. Not long after we've been on a mountaintop experience. The devil wants us to believe that things are worse than what they really are and that no one even cares and we're the only one that's trying to live for God anymore. You remember the story in the Old Testament about Elijah on Mount Carmel, you remember that? And he prayed the fire of God down that day and what God did. And then just the next chapter, he's suicidal. Go home and study me out. He's suicidal in the next chapter. Let me tell you what happened. After a great mountaintop experience, the devil came after him. And can I say something to you? Thank God for what he's doing right now. I bless his name. Boy, this morning the way God met with us, I thank him for it, what he's been doing in the past few weeks. Man, I bless his holy name for it. I thank God for it. Man, I'm telling you, I know it, Brother Ryan's church. God is stirring some things right now. I talked to Brother Chris tonight, and God's stirring some things in Shield of Faith right now. And I said, boys, just beware. The devil don't like it. The devil's coming against us. A lot of times that discouragement comes after a great mountaintop experience. Elijah becomes suicidal. As a matter of fact, Elijah even got to the point where he said this. He said, I'm the only one that hadn't bowed to Baal. And God talked to him and said, was it 7,000? I think it was 7,000 or 3,000 that had not even bowed a knee. God said, hey, look, I got a whole other group over here that you don't know nothing about, that's still serving God, that's still living for God. Hey, hear me and hear me well. We're not in this thing alone. He uses the tool of discouragement. Sometimes it's us as people that will discourage us. Sometimes he uses people. And I say this to you tonight, don't look at people. Don't look at people. People will let you down. And you might as well say amen right there. So let me say it again. People will let you down. I've said this I don't know how many times. If you put your eyes on me as your pastor, you will get let down. If you young people put your eyes on Brother Heath and Miss Morgan, or Brother Tim and Miss Vicky, and you younger kids put your eyes on Brother Aaron and Miss Bethany, or Brother Bailey and Miss Rachel that helps out in youth church, let me tell you something. You're going to get let down. Don't put your eyes on us, and I can't put my eyes on you. We've got to keep our eyes on him, because people will discourage us. Listen to what the Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 33. Whether shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying that the people is greater and taller than we, the cities are greater or great and walled up to heaven, and moreover we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. That was the giants, is who that was. You know what they said? Said, we can't take Canaan's land. We can't do that. Here's the reason why. The people discouraged their heart. The people did. The people did. Tonight, I was talking to Brother Chris before service. Him and Miss Jasmine had came by and wanted to talk to Miss Leslie and I. And we was talking. We spent a large part of the afternoon here at the church talking and fellowshipping. And man, I just love Brother Chris and Miss Jasmine so much. They was going to come talk to us. And I told Madeline that they was going to. And Madeline said, well, I hope they're coming back. And I said, well, honey, it don't have nothing to do with him resigning his church. I said, I know that for a fact. She said, well, I still hope they come back. But we spent the afternoon with them, and we was talking about pastoring. And here's what I told Brother Chris. I say it publicly tonight. Here's what I told Brother Chris. I said, do not get your eyes on nobody in that church. And I said, because here's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to discourage you, and they're going to let you down. Because on our best day, I wish somebody would help me tonight. On our best day, we're nothing but flesh. On our best day, we're nothing but a failure. On our best day, we're nothing but flesh. Sometimes he'll use people to discourage us. Sometimes, watch this, he'll use circumstances to discourage us. Listen to what the Bible said in Numbers 21. And they journeyed from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Now wait a minute. They just said that there was no bread, and then they ended up saying, our soul don't like is what that means, loatheth. This light bread. Well, I just thought you said there wasn't no bread. Now you're saying you don't like the bread that you got. They was Baptists. The devil will use circumstances to discourage us. Circumstances. Let me tell you what the devil, there's not a doubt in my mind that there's some people that was in the service this morning at 11 o'clock and you come unglued. And you know, let me tell you, there's not a doubt in my mind that before you ever even got back home, the devil crawled up on your shoulder and said, you made an idiot of yourself. The devil will take circumstances, whether it's good or bad, and try to discourage us with it. We're not ignorant of that tonight. Said, preacher, how can we keep the fire burning in our church? We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. He'll use the device of distraction. He'll use the device of discouragement. Watch this, number three. He'll use the device of discord or division in the church. He'll use the device of discord or division. I've said this a lot of times preaching here, but I want to say it again tonight. No church has ever crumbled from without. No church is ever split from without. They crumble from within. They crumble from within. And let me tell you what the devil will do tonight. The devil will get Miss Tanya mad at Brother Robert. She's probably got a good reason, but the devil will get Miss Tanya mad at Brother Robert. Or he'll get Brother Robert mad at Brother Randy. Or he'll get Brother Corey mad at Brother Jerry. Or Miss Morgan will be mad at the preacher. Or are you mad at me? She said no. She wouldn't have said yes right then if she was mad at me. Are you hearing the preacher tonight? And before you, I'm just trying to give you my heart tonight. And before you know it, you know what ends up happening? There's discord in the church. There's division in the church. I remember several years ago, this family's not here anymore, but I remember several years ago, it was before this Sunday school wing was here, several years ago, and that was the parking lot then. I remember one Sunday night, I walked out and to make a long story short, there were several people standing there talking and there was an individual walked up to them and the individual left away from them, got in their vehicle and went off and I could tell just by the way that they walked away and the way that they got in their vehicle that they was not happy. So I reached out to them. Whenever I reached out to them, they made the statement that the individuals that they walked up to was talking about them, and whenever they got there, they quit talking so that they wouldn't hear it. So they got mad and walked off, got in the car and left. So you say, what'd you do? I called the individuals that she was talking about. I just said she, didn't I? I really didn't mean to say that. I called the individual that they was talking about, the other individuals, and I said, I'll ask you a question. They said, okay. And I said, now look, you've always been honest with me. And I want you to be honest with me now. You know, the way I am, you just tell me straight. And we won't have no trouble. Was you talking about such and such when they walked up? And they said, well, I know. I said, well, it was just at the end of our conversation and they walked up and was going to start talking about what they was going to talk about. Whatever they wanted to talk about. And they turned around and walked off. I said, so unto God, you was not talking about that individual. And they said, absolutely not. Now, let me tell you what the devil done right then. The devil used the tool of division in the church and caused a problem, a pretty decent-sized problem within the church over nothing. Over nothing. Over nothing. You know what? If I walk up and Brother Dakota and Brother Bailey's talking after service and they quit talking when I walk up, I'm not going to turn around and walk off and go home and get me a pacifier. Division and discord in the church. Somebody helped a preacher tonight. You say, well, I'm going to tell you right now. This and said this and this and said that. Did you really hear them? Before you go to accusing somebody, And before you go to causing problems in the house of God, you better make sure what you're talking about. There's been a lot of churches busting into a million pieces over nothing. Over absolutely nothing. Over nothing. If I think something's wrong when I walk up, you know what I'm going to do? Bailey, you talking about me? You got a problem with me? No. Dakota, is he telling the truth? Yeah. So he does have a problem? No, preacher. It's easy to get Dakota tripped up. There's some people in this room will tell you that I've walked up to them and looked them right in their God-given eyeball and said, have you got a problem with me? Have you got a problem with me? Is it a problem? I'm looking at all of you tonight. Because if there is, you know what you need to do? You need to get it right. Because you're out of God's will. And you're causing division in the church. And the church will never go to where it needs to go if there's division in it. There's a weak link and it'll break. Division and discord. You know, the Bible said these six things does God hate. Yea, seven is an abomination. He that soweth discord among the brethren. You know what that means? It means it makes God want to puke when you go run your mouth about somebody else down at the church house. I'm just being honest with you tonight. I'm not screaming and hollering and all up in your face, jumping up and down. I'm just talking to you tonight. I'm telling you how to keep the fire of God that's began to burn in our church again. I'm telling you how we're going to keep it. We're going to have to understand that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And we know that Satan will use the device of division in the church and discord in the church. Division and discord. Division and discord. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. Face somebody in this church that you're not right with, I beg of you that before you leave these grounds tonight, you find that individual. And you go in a classroom by yourself, or when we give the altar call, you go get them and you bring them to the altar. And you say, you don't even have to go into the depths of it. Just say, hey, I've got some problems. I've thought of you the wrong way. And I'm asking you to forgive me for it and asking you to put it behind us. And go. You say, what if they don't forgive you? That's between them and God at that point. You and God's fine then. They asked, there's been some that I went to and said, hey, I got a problem with you. Some of the things that you do, I just don't, it upsets me, and I've had a problem with that, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And you know what? Some of those people can never forgive me for it, and they're not here now. But the church is still going. And I just want to say something to you tonight. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices, church. The devil will put discord, boy, I wish you'd listen to me tonight, and division in the church. And cause problems. I've got several scripture wrote down there. I'm not going to read them, but let me read you a quote I read today by A.W. Tozer. Here's what he said. I'm about done. It is too bad that anything so obvious should need be said at this late date. But from all appearance, we Christians have about forgotten the lesson so carefully taught by Paul. God's servants are not to be competitors, but co-workers. Or not to be competitors, but co-workers. We're in this together. We're in this together. You know what? Co-worker, you know what? So, preacher, what can I do in the church? Well, Miss Morgan has just took over the nursery. We started the nursery back this morning on Sunday mornings in the 11 o'clock service. And we even added an age to it because we had a gap there. 2 and under was in the nursery and 4 to 11 was in youth church. So we had a gap there of the 3 years old. So we decided that we was going to add the 3 year olds to the nursery on Sunday morning. So 3 and under can go in the nursery on Sunday morning now. And you know what? We're going to need some co-workers in that. They had a crowd in there this morning. And if you've not figured it out yet, there's a crowd on the way that's going in there. Somebody said, oh no. I said, praise God. We're going to grow one way or the other, praise God. Co-workers, that's what we are tonight, church. Me and Brother Tim's not in competition with each other. Me and Brother Brian's not in competition with each other. We're co-workers tonight. Let me show you one more thing and I'm done. What does Satan do? He uses the device of distraction, of discouragement, of discord and division. But I say this last of all, number four tonight. He uses the device of disassociation. The device of disassociation. So preacher, what are you saying? Hebrews 11:25 said this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The devil loves it when believers don't fellowship with other believers. And the devil, come start playing softly if you will, Miss Tanya. The devil will use the device of disassociation. You said, preacher, what does that mean? Here's what that means. If you're not careful, the devil will get you out of church. You said, preacher, I'm in church on Sunday night. I know you are. I understand that. So, preacher, I was here this morning. I understand that. The devil will use the device of disassociation. I've been here for 14 years. It's hard to believe, Brother Robert, but I've been here for 14 years. And I believe Brother Robert would agree with me on this. He's been here ever since the beginning with me and a few others in here. If we had every person that's come to this church in the past 14 years that came in on fire and was going to do something for God, if we had every person, we'd probably be running 700 or 800. I'm being real, Brother Josh, you've been here pretty much the whole time. Brother Jim, y'all have. And Miss Gloria, Miss Rhonda come not long after I came. Brother Brian and Miss Tina was the first family to join after I took the church, just a few weeks after it. Brother Brian, if we had them all, it'd be a bunch. You that's been here for 6 or 7 years, you would say if just the ones that... And you know what happened somewhere along the way? The devil throwed them a curveball and got them out of church. Brother Heath and I was talking this afternoon about an individual. You say, really? Yep, we really was. We was talking about an individual today because we was talking about the need for that individual. Not in a derogatory manner, we was talking about the need for him. And I said this, I said, man, I thought they was going to plug in and really do something for God. I said, have you heard anything out of them? No, I've not heard anything. I said, well, I hadn't either. And can I just say something to you? Please don't get mad, okay? I'm not up on the pew screaming and hollering tonight. I'm talking to you more than I'm giving you my heart. If I have to text you every day to keep you in church, you're coming for the wrong reason. If I have to call you every other day for you to come to church, you're coming for the wrong reason. You're coming for the wrong reason. If I have to carry you out to eat every week, keep you coming to church, you're not coming for the right reason. Now, if you want to go out and eat, well, hey, we'll go out and eat. I like to go out and eat. I'm not scared to go out and eat. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not. I'm going to live my life. Some people is allowed the life to be scared out of them and they're living a miserable life right now. I'm going to enjoy my life, man. God's been good to me. I'm going on down the road. Amen. You want to go eat? We'll go eat. But Brother Randy, if I have to text you every Sunday morning and say, now I love you today, I hope to see you at church, for you to come to church, man, you're not coming to church for the right reason. It would be something if you had to text the preacher every Sunday morning and say, hey, I hope to see you at church today. You'd be finding another one, wouldn't you? About 2 Sundays of that, and I would say that I'd be asked to either get faithful or get out. Disassociation. The devil will take the least little thing and make you disassociate yourself with the house of God. I guarantee you, whenever I said that, somebody went through your mind that you thought about, and you probably thought this right here. That person would have never got out of church. That person would have never got out of church. I talked to Daddy this week, and we was talking about some people. And I said, how's old brother such and such doing? I said, is he going to church and still faithful and everything? And here's what Daddy said. He said, he hardly ever goes to church anymore. Man, if you'd have told me 2 years ago or 3 years ago that man wouldn't be going to church today, I'd have said, I'm just going to be straight with you. I'd have said, you a blooming idiot. A blooming one, not just a regular one. You a blooming one. You crazy. So what happened? The devil distracted him. The devil discouraged him. The devil let some discord get in his mind. And now he's completely disassociated himself with the house of God. Listen to what he said. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of it. We know tonight, I'm honest, man, I wanted to come in here tonight and go to Genesis and blow it out the roof again on the faithfulness of God. I really did, and I got an outline wrote down there, and man, I'm telling you, we shout on it. We can shout on it, praise God. But that's not what he said. He said, just go warn the people. You remember that story in the book of Acts, chapter 27? I'm not going to go there, but you remember that story in the book of Acts, chapter 27? I'm done. I'm just trying my best to obey God tonight, church. I mean that. And Paul started to sail to Rome, and whenever he started to sail, Paul told him, said, wait a minute, we don't need to do this right now. Said, if we do this right now, we're going to get in trouble. And the people went to the owner of the boat and captain of the boat and said, here's what Paul said. And they said, no, we're going to sail. Paul said, I'm telling you, we're messing up by doing that. And they said, no, we're going to do it. And you know what they done? They ended up sailing straight into that storm. And the boat wrecked and was destroyed, and they swam to shore on broken pieces of the boat and come to the island of Melita in chapter number 27. Y'all remember that story? And let me just say this. If they would have just listened to Paul to begin with, they wouldn't have found themselves in that mess. There's a lot of times, and it's hard to say this standing in my own pulpit. I can say it in somebody else's pulpit a whole lot easier. There's a lot of times that you'd be saved a lot of trouble if you'd just listen to the man of God. If you'd just listen to the man, if you've got a man of God that loves you and preaches the truth, there's a lot of times you can save a lot of trouble just listening to the man. He said, don't do it, and they done it anyway. And they sailed, and they suffered shipwreck, and they got to the island of Melita, and they was all cold. And there was a fire that was burning at the island of Melita. Some of you will remember, I preach a message every once in a while on some things at the First Baptist Church of Melita that we need in our church. And one of them was they found a fire that was burning. There was a fire burning. And here's what Paul done. To keep a fire burning, you got to stoke the fire. Y'all understand what I'm saying there? You got to put more wood on it. If you don't, it'll go out. I loaded the firebox yesterday evening late. You know what I had to do tonight before I came to church, this afternoon before I came to church? Put my old coat on. I went out there and opened the door to the firebox. And Brother Robert, I had to put more wood on the fire. Let me tell you the reason why. There's just one little stick, Brother Charlie, that was left in the bottom. And it was burning just a little bit. And there was a lot of coals down there. But you know, let me tell you what I wanted to do. I wanted to be warm at 1 o'clock in the morning. And when I go home and take a shower in a little while, I wanted some hot water to take a shower with. So I opened the door to that water stove and I throwed a bunch of wood on the fire. And you know what happens? After a while, I'll turn the water on in the house and it'll start to pull the water out of that and it'll put more cold water in it. And that computer will tell it that it's below 170 degrees, and it'll turn that little fan on down there in the bottle of it. And whenever it does, it'll begin to blow that oxygen over them flames, over them coals that's down in there. And that flame will begin to burn again. And now, because there's a lot more fuel in there for it, there'll be a fire that blazes up inside of there, and I'll stay warm through the night. And here's what happened. That fire began to dwindle down at the island of Melita. And the man of God said, if the fire's going to keep burning, I'm going to have to put some wood on the fire. So you know what he done? He went over there and he got some wood and he took it to throw it on the fire. And when he throwed it on the fire, here's what the Bible said. A viper, a serpent, a snake come out of that and fastened on Paul that day. The Bible said it fastened on him. And here's what Paul done. Paul had a decision that he had to make. To either allow the serpent to stay fastened on him or to shake the serpent back off into the fire. And he shook the serpent back off into the fire. The fire would have went out if he hadn't put no wood on it. And I want to say this from the depths of my heart. About a month ago, there's just a few coals that were still in the bottom of the stove at Amazing Grace. Let me tell you what's happened over the past few weeks. Somebody's went and got the ark. Somebody's been praying and somebody's been begging God. And you know what we do when we pray? We throw wood on the fire. And that fire has once again begun to burn in our hearts and begin to burn in our souls. And boy, if that has ever been evident, it was evident in that 11 o'clock service this morning, how the fire of God was burning again. But make no mistake, when the fire goes to burning, the serpent will go to crawling. And we're not ignorant of that. We're not ignorant of that. Let's be mindful of what the devil can do in the midst of the fire. And when he jumps on you, don't allow him to stay fastened on you. You shake him back off into the fire from whence he came.